Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Matt and Dwight Just Might, a podcast about two Midwest-based comedians and comedy festival producers who are making their way through life, love, Limestone Comedy Festival weekend, and all the rest. I am Matt Alano Martin, and with me, as always, is the co-host of this podcast and the co-director of the Limestone Comedy Festival, Mr. Dwight Simmons. Dwight, how are you doing, man?
I am fantastic. Anything of note happened this weekend, Matt?
No, pretty chill. Like it is weird that we're doing a podcast considering that we've seen each other pretty much nonstop.
Yeah.
Either seen or talked to each other nonstop for the last 10 days easily.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Like
the festival was this weekend. A lot of people think, "Oh, the festival's over, you're done." No. Me and you and a couple of volunteers, Devin and Joey, shout out to them for showing up on Sunday to do a bunch of manual labor of loading chairs and coolers and all kinds of stuff out of different spaces that we needed to get it out of. And then Monday and Tuesday, it's been accounting and believe it or not, people, already discussions about next year's festival.
It never stops. I love it. Yeah, this is so I had the cat's out of the bag, I guess. Had several people ask, is this the last year? And I said, see no evil, hear no evil, tell no evil. Who knows? I think we're coming back next year.
Yeah, we're making moves to come back next year. You never know. Like the planet could catch on fire at any time. But, this
is a slow burn.
We were going into this not knowing, right? And we purposely did not say anything at the closing show, which typically the closing show when we come out and do our speeches, which I've come to realize is a terrible idea. Having us speak on the Buskirk Chumley Theater stage on Thursday night, the first night of the festival, great idea. Mm-hmm. Welcoming everybody. But after 3 days of like nonstop and just intense, this year was highly stressful for me in a couple of different ways. And so I was definitely not my best during my little speech.
Yeah.
Jared made it sound like he hated being alive.
he was like, this sucks.
He goes, I'm not going to lie. This all sucks.
He goes, this is hard.
Yeah,
this is hard and I'm old. And he said something very sweet about me and you as well. And then I went up and roasted him.
Yeah,
that was just in.
That should really be the new thing. Instead of us even like addressing the festival and appreciation for people, it should just be the three of us roasting each other.
Come out with three mics.
Yeah.
It was 90 degrees or hotter all weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And we started, on Wednesday. That's really when the quote unquote manual labor starts. So setting up the rooms, doing the shopping, running around. We got to set up all the VIP badges and the bags and the swag. So that's all the
bags, not just the VIP, but we had to process, like, I think it was something like, 200 and so a little over 200 badge purchases this year. Mm-hmm. So that's 200 bags that we have to put together with things. And there's a lot for sure. I didn't mean to cut you off, but
it's just like, so it's really for us, it's, the physical part of it is Wednesday through Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So the heat definitely played a factor into my brain function all weekend. I felt like, so I did the podcast for Kyle and Shane, their live podcast, and I was just so slow. Already kind of slow, but man, I was slow up the jump. They were like, so what's your favorite part about Indiana? And I was like, it's the part of the festival where I'm just like, I don't have very much patience.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, I thought we were going on the podcast to make fun of Indiana.
Yeah.
And I had so much to say. And Kyle's like, no, we do a thing where we're like, we're trying to, it's no accounting for taste. So we're trying to take something that people talk shit about and glean like, the positives.
You need a different guest.
Yeah. How about you get someone that's visited from, but I was just, it's also the thing where you're in producer mode all weekend. So you focusing on one task is pretty much an impossibility.
Yeah.
Because you always have a to-do list and yours is even worse than mine. Mine is pretty simple. It's just like venue to venue to venue, but it's still a lot. And it's so hard to turn your brain back into let's riff, relax, comedy mode.
Well, you're not in comedy brain. You're in producer brain, which is a very different thing. And, you know, people often ask me, like, you know, why don't you go up? It's like, because I have done a couple of spots over the course of the 10 years. I've done, like, I think two feature spots, two 10-minute sets. And then I used to host the Blooming 10 for a couple of years before I realized that was also just too difficult to kind of, that happens at a point in time in the festival where I need to be in the production office doing stuff. Mm-hmm. And so neither one of my sets were great that I did do, because being able to switch from one gear to the other, they were fine, but it wasn't, you know, you're not as keyed in as much as you want to be. And that's like a tough place to be. And you did a set this year.
Yeah. And I did two.
Yeah. Because
kickoff two, show.
Yeah. And so, right. You do BrewTube, obviously, every time. Yeah. But that's kind of a hosting thing, but you still do time
it's
in
just
it. A host.
Yeah. It's just like kick off the, it's, right. You know, it's at, we started at like 4:15. Everyone's, you know, got their first drink. It's a brewery, so it's not like a comedy club setting, and it's just like jump starting the audience.
Yeah.
So that's fun. So like, that's all right, not preparing, just going to tell a couple of random jokes, thank our sponsor, then bring up the first comic. Mm-hmm. And that was great. That was great. It was a great way to get into the festival. It actually put me at ease. It made me happy for all of Thursday that I got to do that, because the show turned out so good. All the comics on it crushed, and the audience and comics that got in early on Thursday came to support the show, even though it was a little further away. So cool. So cool. And I love our new venue, Bloomington Brewing Company.
Yeah.
They are absolutely wonderful human beings. Anything that we needed, they're like right there with it. Absolutely no problems. So that kind of like relaxed me.
Right. Yeah. So. I cannot say enough good things about Amanda Franklin and her husband, the owners of BBC, coming in this year as a sponsor. And this may sound like two producers that are trying to like suck up. I guarantee they will never hear this, and they're not listening to this podcast. And it's really very unlikely that anyone who listens to this podcast is going to tell them that. So this is genuine. This is from the heart. Like, they were a dream to work with, and hopefully they'll be on board for many, many years just because they were great. They're so, so good. And also, Amanda's like such a delightful person to talk to. And I told you this, like, she reminds me a lot of Mary Mack. So 100%. If there are comedy fans out there, comedians who know Mary Mack, that just like how sweet she is and genuine. Mm-hmm. And like, that's very much the vibe that Amanda has too. So it's like, it's definitely, they're good people to put you at ease at the beginning of the festival for sure. And I should have come and hung out for a little bit and just got soaked up some of that energy.
Yeah, that was good energy, man. Yeah, she watched the whole show. And she was great. Enjoyed it. She let her employees watch. And and then I did a set on Saturday, which I should not have done. Like, I did not. I was like, so little inside baseball. Mm-hmm. I write all my set lists on my phone, like probably like a half hour before going up. I'm not like a, you know, let me prepare all day for this. And then so usually I'm like, all right, let's get a set list together, especially if I want to try some new things.
Mm-hmm.
Man, open up my Evernote and my phone would not stop buzzing just from like text messages, volunteers, also running the limestone, people tagging the limestone. I cannot even like focus on my, so I go old school. I was like, give me a piece of paper. Can I find a pen somewhere? And I go to sit down like 10 minutes before the show starts, and I'm like, all right, I'm just gonna write a set list. In walks Shane Torres, and he's like, hey man, the fest is going great, do you know anything? Like all these questions that wad up the paper, and then I go on stage cold. And it was, like you said, just okay. It was just okay. It was Bob Edwards, who's industry from Minneapolis, comes up after and goes, well, that was fun. I was like, yeah, it was fun. There was no ending. I got the light and I just got off stage. But
It's so hard. Like, I mean, just to switch those gears like that. Although I think there maybe is something to be said about doing one early on in the festival before things get too crazy. Like, you had the BrewTube event but I also wound up hosting very last minute the You Got the Light event.
Oh, yeah.
And I had a blast at it, you know, like, which I've never hosted that event. Since we created that event, it's always been hosted by, I think, by Bob Nugent every time, because mm-hmm. he's got like that really good energy for that sort of thing. But I had a blast doing it. And, you know, and I did the same thing. I did 90 seconds of jokes up top, and they all hit pretty well and everything. And I, you know, I had a couple like one-liners here and there after a certain people's sets, little bumps or whatever.
Yeah.
But doing an actual set is also stressful as a producer, not just in the fact that you're, what am I letting slide while I'm up mm-hmm. here trying to get my ego stroke, you know, but,
I gotta let these motherfuckers know.
But it's also that too. Like the last time I did one was a couple of years ago. There was a last minute, like day of dropout. Mm-hmm. And so there was a cinema. It's far too late to go into the alternate list or whatever. And so I was like, all right, it was like actually on a Sarah Schaefer show who came back this year. So this, I don't know, like 3 years ago or something like that. And I love Sarah, and it was at the Bishop. I love the Bishop. And so like, all right, I'll take that spot. It's the last block of time on Saturday. It's a Saturday 9:30 show. So it's like everything will pretty much be running and done and everything. And I went up, and it was pretty meh. It was pretty fine. Mm-hmm. But the whole time in my head, I was like, oh, I'm not crushing in front of all the other comics that are here. And now they're only going to see me as a producer and not as a fellow comic.
Right.
They're going to see me as like, oh, that's the Limestone guy. And he also does comedy. Like, no. Yeah. Like, I was a full-time professional comedian before I ever started this fucking thing. Oh, like, man. What are you talking about? But it's, you know, we've talked about that before on the podcast. Like, there is an extra level of pressure when the room is full of other comedians. Like, you want to show and prove, you know? And so, so it's always hard to switch between those two. And man, there's no way I could have pulled it off this year. Like I said, this year was particularly stressful for me. It kind of got to me, and I wasn't at my best at all times. But luckily, all that was behind the scenes for the most part. Only a handful of people got to see me fall apart.
which day in particular did the wheel start falling off for you?
Well, it's Friday, you know, and I realize this, and I may have said this on an earlier episode, like, I don't think I really realize or recognize when I'm having stress, like, how intense my stress levels are, because I don't have, like, oh, my back's not all cinched up, and I'm not, like, I don't feel it physically. Mm-hmm. And so, but Saturday, there was a situation, there's about 6 hours where I was dealing with the normal run of things that I have to do, which is pulling all the will call sheets for the first 7 o'clock rounds of shows, which was more intense than usual because the ticketing system that the BCT box office uses this year is not as efficient as the one they've had in previous years. It's a lot more labor intensive just to pull the sheets, the names of like who's coming to that show. Mm-hmm. There's like 3 extra steps to it, so it takes longer. And we had added 2 extra venues mm-hmm. on Fridays. And so that entire process took a lot longer. And so during that, while I was trying to do all that, there was also the situation with a couple of comics. Travel plans had gotten screwed up due to airline delays and stuff like that. And we're trying to take care of these comics. They're flying in from LA. They're flying in from Portland and all these other places. They're going to miss their first show. How do we make it so they can still get their 2 sets? Like the feature level comedians get 2 10-minute sets. And like, we're trying to take care of them. And both there were 2 people specifically that I had to help out. There was a third one that we kind of, it was a little bit easier to manage it. But the 2 that I, you know, like I found comics who then could flip with them, you know, either give them one of their Saturday sets or like go instead of doing a 9:30 show, do a 7 o'clock show so that the person coming in late could take that 9:30 spot. Both of those comics came up to me and like, we're so thankful, and specifically said, like, I've been in other festivals that would not have done that.
Yeah.
Where they would have been like, tough shit. Yeah. I guess you're only doing 1 set.
Yeah.
And one person even told me about a festival.
Flying Spirit.
Yeah. I think it was Frontier this time, but anyway, but it was one of those Spirit. Where we don't, you know, our whole thing is to not be that festival, like not like we try to really like, you and I are comics. We understand sometimes it's outside of your control. You know, you can have the best intentions. Now, that being said, and I bet these comics take this lesson to heart, you and I have been doing this long enough that we know if you do fly somewhere, you fly the day before.
Yeah.
Because you never know now with airlines. Like if it's a big deal, you just fine. I'm going to get a hotel an extra day. Mm-hmm. Because it's just worth it to get there a day early just in case. But so I was dealing with all that, trying to balance the scheduler out, schedule out and take care of those guys. And Also, we had a missing headliner that you had to go get.
Yeah.
Wasn't answering their phone, wasn't answering the hotel room phone, the manager, their agent couldn't get a hold of them, and their show had started. So yep. I'm also then trying to figure out, while you were running down there, I reached out and contacted David Rodriguez, who's a fantastic comedian and a headliner in his own right, who comes every year as visiting industry.
Yep.
I was like, can you go to this venue and go yes. up and possibly do a 10-minute set, which might turn into a headlining set if we cannot find this person.
Right.
Like I was like making plans, like we're going to throw you in after yep. the last scheduled feature, and that might just turn into a headlining set.
Right.
And because I know he's got the chops and he can do it, and he's also a legitimate headliner, where we could apologize to the audience members there and be like, I'm sorry, so-and-so isn't here, but we've got a new, you know, so we've
yeah.
got this person here, because he's got a dry bar coming out. He's done like real shit. Like yeah. there's still the thing of he is a headliner. You may not right. know him, but you know, people aren't going to feel like they're ripped off, you know?
He's also a person that runs a comedy club, so he gets right. it. So he yeah. understands the situation, and it's not too big for him.
Yeah, but all that was happening at once. All that stuff was happening at once.
Everything, everywhere, all at once.
For about 6 hours. And we got through it, and I was able to go see Sarah Schaefer's one-woman show, which is so fantastic, called Going Up, which is really the main thing that I wanted to see. And so the whole time, I'm just like, if this bullshit makes me miss this show, I'm going to be yeah. so fucking mad. but we got through it, and I went and watched our show, and I thought everything was fine, but I don't think I really realized like how much that stress stayed inside of me.
Right.
Because then the next day I just started letting like very little things get to me. Like this year we had a lot of crashers for whatever reason, like mm-hmm. two random dudes showed up to the Ultra VIP brunch.
Right.
They kind of snowed their way through past the volunteer who was working the door. And so then I went up to them, and they basically did, do you know who we are? My dad owns a dealership. Basically, that's not exactly what they said, but they were like, oh, we know the CEO yeah. and all this shit. Like, what's so great is Angela, the manager of Cardinal, she and I were like arguing over who got to tell them to get fucked. Like, she's like, I'll do it. I'd love to do it. Please let me do it. Because they're like two, like, you know, like pretty boy, frat boy looking dudes or whatever.
Yeah.
And so we had that. And then, you know, it's just like these little things like added up. And then I just, yeah, I got a little, I wasn't as calm and in control as I usually am by the end of the festival.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's just a lot of, I don't know, like maybe it's good because it's really made us re-examine the way that we do the festival internally, structure wise. It's good that it broke me this year.
Yeah.
In a way. And it's because you and Jared and I have already started having conversations about doing some different structural things where we bring on some more people, maybe not as equal partners in the festival, but as like a level just below us.
Yeah.
That like senior volunteers that work with us kind of almost year round.
Right.
And that are taking a lot off of our plates because, you know, it's like we said in the meeting, like you personally are running around to each green room to make sure they've got enough beer and water. It's not something a co-director really should be focusing on. Right.
Yeah.
Like we need you to go to the hotel and wake up the headliner.
Yeah. That's on me. We're not sending. So like I said, all weekend it's 90 degrees plus. It's hot. It's hot. It's real hot. I had just changed into a shirt. So I had a very good system. It's always had an extra shirt that I could change into because my man, I was sweating like an insane person, just torrential downpour, Dennis Rodman in the fourth quarter NBA playoffs. So I always had always made time to switch a fresh shirt, brought several limestone t-shirts, switched it out, get a text from Matt. What are you doing right now? That's never good. That's never good. What are you doing right now? I was like, about to head over to, I think I was headed to the Orbit room from my hotel just to check in on that show that it started. And then you're like, we're missing Calvin. Can you go to the hotel? He's not answering.
Oh, you just said the name. I wasn't going to say who it was, but you just said it.
Beep. He knows. No, I'm not beeping it. No, he knows. He knows he was late because
now everybody else does too. That's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. He course corrected though. So yeah. he wasn't shitty about it, but I did have to sprint to the Marriott. And then I saw him walking out. And I shouted his name. It's like, yo, we got a show, brother.
Yeah.
Oh, he looked good. He was not sweaty. Man is a very attractive human being.
He is. Yeah, he's in great shape. He could have sprinted over there and probably not broken a sweat. That's how good a shape he is in.
Damn, just cool, calm, and relaxed. But he made it to the venue before set. As I'm trying to, I've never met Calvin, so I'm like out of breath. Yeah. I'm like, it's good to meet you. Sorry, excuse me, but yeah, we got to kind of rush over. We have very tight schedule, so like we can't have situation where we don't know where comics are.
Yeah,
at all. Like, I know you're from Chicago, and it's you know, it's natural for you to walk into a room and then just walk on stage without anybody knowing where you are. But like, we have to run a tight ship. And I think his agent called him and talked to him. So for the rest of his sets, I think he had three more sets for the weekend. Yeah. He'd check in. He was early.
He was great. He came to the other events too, which is a thing. Yep. It's like, not all the headliners always come to the things like the brunch and stuff like that. And we can't really force them to, but it's always nice when someone buys in, right?
Right.
They come to the karaoke party. They come, like, you know, these higher level comics. And yeah, from that point forward, he was there. He was at the brunch. He was there. He was all in, like, good attitude, and killed too. Like, I had so many people commenting.
They were like,
I've never heard of this guy. You know, I'm talking about like some of the industry people who were visiting. Like, we had no idea about this guy. You know, so I'm pretty sure he's going to get some work from us. So Calvin just sent us that 15%.
Oh man, yeah. I have to say it because I think this is funny. I was also tracking down Brad Sativa, who's another black comic. And I got to Brad, and he finally got to the venue. And I said, you black men are not going to do this to me. Y'all not going to do this to us. show up, be on time.
I just have to, can I pause there? This just reminds me of a great Jameson Raymond joke that he had. Story really. One of the original Bloomington things. He had a joke about, like, he's driving, he saw a car was like off the road in the ditch, and it looked like it was just not that serious. But he's like, oh no, that's, you know, that sucks. And then the person getting out of the car was an Asian woman. He's like, come on. These are two stereotypes that you should be working hard to, like,
get rid of.
Now every person can be like, see, I told you.
Yeah.
Drives by. You're saying is, in the future, we need to tell all black headliners their showtime is actually 45 minutes earlier than it is. Is that what you're saying?
Cookout rules apply. Oh man. Like, honestly, the amount of stress that I experienced was minimal in comparison. You're out here doing logistics stuff, which is much harder to solve than the physical attributes of, like, trying to, like, make sure green rooms have the necessary things that they need, making sure people are where they are. Like, that's much easier to do than to try to rearrange shows on the fly. And also even like dealing with a printer that malfunctions when, you know, lineups and call sheets have to be somewhere in 10 minutes is enough to make you go crazy if that was the only thing that was going on.
Yeah.
And add that on top of everything, everywhere all at once. That's going to be my, that's the name of the,
The episode. Yeah. That's a good name of the episode.
I wasn't around enough to, like, see the stress on Friday. I think I saw you at the Sarah Schaefer show. We got to both watch that, which we never typically get to do. We never get to watch a whole show.
Yeah. I mean, and the whole time I'm still working, like, I'm sitting in the very far back corner of the room, so I'm not bothering anybody else, but I'm still on my phone coordinating with all the volunteers.
Yeah.
Through group text threads, getting like check-ins and stuff like that. And we still, like, I think I asked you, are you okay running and collecting, like, doors and, like, doing the final switchover? Because I really wanted to see the end of the show.
Yeah.
Like, one of us was going to have to miss it.
Yeah.
And I pulled rank on you and I said, you're going to be the one who misses it, Dwight. I've been doing this a lot longer. So
see, this is where the legend of Matt being a monster.
Yes, there it is.
But it's false. It lives in your own head because you didn't do that. You got a volunteer that had been knocking it out.
Oh, that's right.
It'd be cool if we both could see the end of this.
Yeah.
Had a volunteer that we could trust. You asked him, I think you went to ask him in person. Mm-hmm. And that's why, like, I think next year we can give a little more trust and empowerment to the volunteers to take a little bit more off of our plate.
Yeah.
The volunteers we had this year were absolute rock stars. Like, anything we needed,
mm-hmm.
it was done. Like, it was all hands on deck. It was
It was either or.
It makes me emotional thinking about it. It's like,
We had such an amazing group. We always have a pretty good group, and it really, you know, and most of those are drawn from, those are local comics, right?
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, are not in the festival. Some of them are in the festival and they're doing double duty. Like a lot of the, you know, not all of them, but a lot of the local comics who got in either at the host level or even the feature level, mm-hmm. are like, yep, we could be there. Now, not everybody has that circumstance and that situation where they can do more than just the spots that they, you know, are getting at the festival. But the ones who do step up and block out that weekend for us, I mean, it's amazing. We had three comics from Indy come down and volunteer.
Yep.
You know, and so that, you know, we gave them gas money because, like, how could we not? Like, you're
right.
You know, you're going to another city to volunteer for a festival. The least we can do is cover your gas, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, just a great crew. And I think we have decided we do need to expand on it and maybe open it up to not just being comics and like we've had a few people here and there, like my friend Rachel DiGregorio always volunteers every year.
Mm-hmm.
Julie Warren is another like local Bloomington person, not a comedian, but has always been stellar in that role when she's been able to volunteer for the festival. But it's just opening up a little bit more. It's going to make it a little bit easier on all of us and less stressful and possibly more stressful. I don't know. We might be just entering into a different type of stress, you know, by having a larger pool of people to kind of keep tabs on. But I feel good about that decision. And, you know, you're right, man. Everybody who showed up, it was kind of either or this year. Either
people were like,
I can do anything you need all the time. Or like, I just can't do anything, you know, like their personal schedule or for whatever reason, they just weren't stepping up to volunteer. Right.
Yeah.
And so thank God we had that first group, you know, who could fill in those gaps, you know.
Yep.
So really, really fantastic crew. I've already forgotten most of their names or else I would thank them. So,
no. I know Jenna V and Carrie C from, I'm going to shout them out. They did drive down from.
And Laura Cord. That was the third.
And Laura Cord. Yeah.
Yeah. Drove down from Indianapolis. Jetta volunteered last year.
Yep.
Is just, she's a special person, right? I hate to say it like this, but she's like an actual for real adult in comedy, which is rare.
Yeah.
Like, but there's something about her is like, oh, she handles her business. You know, you can trust her. You know, she's going to tell you what's up, you know, not spin it. And she's going to just show up and do what's asked of her and do it, you know, joyfully, you know, and Carrie and Laura did the exact same thing too. But Jetta has been back to back years. So yeah, special shout out to her.
Yeah. And she takes initiative. Like she,
true.
Like problem solving on the fly and we'll figure it out when we figure it out. It's like, you know, giving that empowerment. Because there are situations at working the door, we have volunteers. They don't always know the answers.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's, if we can't be there right then, they have to send a text while these people wait to get into a show. Yeah.
Or they have to make a judgment call. And, you know, and all of them made the right call in the moment. You know, Carrie C did the same thing. There were people that were salty. She was working the door at the Orbit Room, which is one of our new venues that turned out to be one of the more popular venues. Like it packed out both of the shows that we did there. And there were women there who got there late and their seats were gone, even though they had badges.
Yep.
And Carrie was like, you know, I'm sorry that you're mad. I'll go get two more chairs from the back.
Yeah.
But, you know, you were here and then you left to go do something. Like,
yeah,
there's no holding chair. So they did a great job for sure.
And
all the volunteers did. So, so that was, I mean, it was a big success, you know, like,
I had a blast, like just watching. I like always, I had a blast, like just watching comics prepare for their sets. Like you can feel that anxiousness and the nerves because they want to do a good job. It's like what we just talked about, you know, you traveled all the way here and now you're performing in front of a lot of your peers, a lot of comics hang out and watch shows. Kyle Kinane might pop into your show and watch your set and you can see him in the Bishop in the back of the room. So you're like pacing like Kyle Kinane's gonna watch
did that to a lot of people. He did that. Yeah. He watched a lot of the shows. Yeah. He jumped on the You Got the Light. He did the.
That's awesome.
And shout out to Kyle. And now he's a great comic, but super sweet human being. For the You Got the Light 90-second midnight show, he came up to me. He's like, hey, can I do this? It's already been running, right? And I was like, yeah, man, you want to go up next? He's like, yeah. And then Paul Olinger was supposed to be next. So Paul saw me kind of like wave him off for a second.
Yeah.
And I brought up Kyle, and Paul's like, oh, how much time is he doing? I was like, he's doing 90 seconds. Like, he's not bumping you to do an hour, dude. Like, this is the show. And he's like, oh, okay. Cause like, I think Paul thought he had time to go get another drink or something. And I'm like, no, dude, you're going right up in 90 seconds.
Paul's from Atlanta, so it probably happens to him. It's like, hey, you're next. Actually, Foxworthy dropped in. And,
Sorry. T.I.'s here. And so, yeah.
Yeah. That's, man, I think that's what made the festival special this year, is that a lot of the headliners hung out not only at the after parties but at shows.
Yeah,
they came to shows if they could. I know a lot of them had shows,
a lot of them are scheduled a lot spot, yeah,
man, to see, I think it adds a layer of depth and legitimacy to out-of-town comics when you know, you got Kyle and Shane and Kelly and Mahanitz coming to hang out, and Sarah Schaefer hung out at the backdoor rap party, and she's so generous with her time and so kind. That one woman show was just a highlight reel of how special of a human and artist she is. It's absolutely must watch. It should be required watching for anybody entering into comedy.
Yeah. I had some friends who went and saw it, the early show of it, and they're not into comedy. It's my friends Ron and Maria. And Maria is an entertainer. She's a singer and an actor, and has done a lot of the sort of like off-Broadway type plays that they do in Bloomington, the musicals and things like that, right? She's a classically trained actor and singer, but not as a comedian, you know. And they found her show fascinating.
Yeah.
And what's great about it is like they both talked about how like they're sure it like hits so much deeper if you are a comedian.
Yeah.
But even as lay people who don't know the inner workings, you know, which they would if they would listen to this podcast. But that's
do you want to give do you want to give a quick synopsis of the show for people that don't know?
Sure. For people that don't know, the going up, the Sarah Schaefer one woman show, it's framed like a motivational speaker giving a motivational seminar about how to make it in comedy. It's very Tony Robbins-esque. It's very like, believe in yourself, and here's the rules, and here's the steps that you need to take on the ladder to success. And in it, she breaks down and kind of makes fun of all these stereotypes and true things about stand-up comedy and comedy scenes and the politics behind comedy scenes, and goes through all the different types of comics there are in a very funny kind of like way of phrasing that. And the entire run of the show, she talks about first about how you have to deal with your inner voice of
your inner doubt, heckler.
Your inner heckler. You're right. This voice of doubt, which is physically manifested on the stage. I don't want to give too much away, but there's a character on the stage that's playing that. And as the show progresses, that inner voice of doubt and that heckler reappears a few more times until she finally breaks down and like, why am I doing this? I'm such a fraud. Like, as the person presenting the seminar. And then it has this really beautiful coda, this beautiful end of it when she gets it together, like, and she finally squashes the inner doubt and realizes that, you know, yes, success is good, and it's sad when it goes away, and sometimes never you don't get the successes that you wanted, but a life in the arts is its own reward, is essentially the end of the show. But it's so clever, so smart, so well done. Some amazing like inside jokes.
Yeah, definitely.
For comedians and comedy, but it works on so many different levels. And like I said, with Ron and Maria not being comedians, they still loved it. They still thought it was great. But you definitely had the thing, like in the showing that we were at the next show, the late show of it. She would start a section, and we were kind of in the one area that all the comics were sitting in.
Yeah.
Our entire section would start laughing.
Yeah.
As she was just going into it, because we already know what she's about to talk about.
Right.
And then by the end of it, everybody else is laughing because she's written it so well that everybody gets on board. They get the joke and everything like that.
Yeah.
But you could really, we were like the early warning system of like, oh, shit.
Oh, God. Like, so good.
Yeah. It's fantastic. And, you know, I've been a fan and friend of Sarah's for a very long time. And so I told her, it's like, we kind of wanted to be the first festival to do this show. When we first heard about her developing the show in LA,
yeah,
we reached out pretty early on to book it. She wound up taking it to Australia first for a few weeks, which in a lot of ways I think is maybe good, because then we got a more polished version of the show. And I think we might still be the first North American festival that she's done it at. So there's still a little bit of a bragging right there too.
We'll take it.
Yeah, we'll take it.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed that. I was glad. You know, I got to pop in to watch a lot of the headliners. I think popped in to watch Kyle. He just is unfairly funny. Like, it's just outrageous. Like, just crushing. I think I watched 15 minutes and there were no breaks. He's so good at riffing. He's so good at being in the moment and making it feel like everything he says is off the top of his head. Even as a professional seasoned comic, I'm like, how is he doing this?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It seems very stream of conscious the entire time, even though it's, you know, he's a professional and this has worked out. Most of it's pretty very, very much worked out. I get to hear all of his set. My production office is right off the side of the stage and the Buskirk Shumley Theater. I transformed the small dressing room into the production office, which means I get to listen to everything that's happening, right?
Yeah.
While I'm in there. So I did get to hear all of Kyle's set. I got to hear most of Melissa's early show and I think all of the late show. And yeah, Kyle's a monster. It was interesting. Melissa's early show, it was still good and she still got laughs and there was a bunch of people there, but her energy, just as another comic, it felt a little turned down. It felt like a little, which was completely rectified in the late show. Not that she went all crazy high energy, but this is just that extra little oomph. And maybe it's just like, oh, okay, she got one under her belt.
Yeah.
And so now she's like here, and which we saw the exact same thing, I think, when Colin Quinn was here. The first show was good. And then that second show was like, holy shit. And I think he even talked about it that year. He's like, yeah, he's like, I needed to kind of get one out of the way.
Yeah.
And now I'm loose. I'm in it. And that's how Melissa's second set, I thought was fantastic.
Yeah. She's also like, you know, working a lot of stuff out. She's talking about her experience on SNL and how she's dealt with that and personal experiences on the show. So, I think she still has a lot of pieces coming together. So, like, yeah, I saw a lot of the late set as well and thought it was really great. I got to see Mohaned, who I've never seen him do a long set. Like, I think the most I've seen him do is maybe 20, 25. He's such a good storyteller. So many people came up, like, throughout the festival, and they're like, we've never heard of this guy, but thank God we did. He's really, really fucking good. He's really good. Did you get to watch him at all?
I did not. I did not see a single minute of him on it. He did steal my seat at the brunch, though, and I will never let him think about it. And in fact, on his envelope that I had his payment in, when I went up to Tatum on Saturday night, it did say Mohaned, the brunch bandit. which he thought was funny. But he is a killer, and we know that. And he's one of those guys that was a feature at the festival a few years ago that has continued to get bigger and better, and we wanted to bring back. Same thing with Kelly Collette. We always have at least a couple of those, which are features that we've kept our eyes on that we know are ready to come back and headline now. And Mohaned, I think, did get the most, you know, we have like a little group chat of all the local comics here in Bloomington, right? And they love to go and give each other's, like, what did you think, you know, their day after synopsis, like, who was your favorite, blah blah blah. A lot of them were talking about Mohaned, you know, a lot of them are talking about Sarah's show, a lot of them were talking about Mohaned being particularly strong. They also in that group chat were talking about how they haven't quite recovered yet. And I was like, oh, you guys don't even know. Like, you haven't recovered from doing your two sets and like helping out and working the door one time? Okay.
Yeah. That's funny.
It's like, we all get tired. I understand, you know, and, you know, I shouldn't be too harsh because most of them had to go back to regular jobs where I, being a self-employed person, was like, I ain't doing shit on Monday. Monday, I slept so much yesterday. Sunday, we had a lot of cleanup still to do.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of physical labor stuff that we did on Sunday. And then I also still had a date to go watch Ted Lasso with Denise and the aforementioned Walkers. So I had things to do. Yesterday, man, I slept. I slept, got up, ate, went right back to bed. Like, it was great.
I know I was exhausted because I watched Ted Lasso and we're two episodes behind. So watch the finale. And just bawling, just crying. I mean, it's an emotional ass show.
But we're like 5 episodes behind, so we're kind of getting close. I think we have 3 episodes left, I think.
Okay.
And like, even in those episodes, I wanted to cry.
Yeah.
Like when he takes his dad to the restaurant and the team is there cleaning it up.
Yeah.
I almost started, even though that's the most.
It's so
expected. It's the most expected thing. Like, oh, that's clearly what's going to happen. And once you know the show, clearly there's going to be a positive thing that happens after this terrible thing. Yep. And I still was like,
I'm so excited for you to see, because there's a scene that they just set up for a long time. You're like, this is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be surprised by it.
Yeah.
But then the way I was like, oh, the way they did this. Oh, I was like, can we pause? Can we pause so I can have a good cry?
I don't want a lot of spoilers, but I do want to guess if this is right. So the thing that they're setting up that actually finally happens is Roy Kent and Jamie Tart make out. Is that what happens? Finally... It's so hot.
No spoilers. No spoilers. Yes. Right, an erotic fan fiction over here. That's going to be
I guarantee that's already out there. I guarantee.
Yeah. Oh, we got to find that podcast for the Fest next year. That would be great.
Yeah.
That would be great.
He is every fucking where. All right. So.
Okay. A couple more headliners I want to shout out. You talked about Kelly, but she's just, I have so much respect and admiration for her. She's just continued to get better and better and better. And I think everyone that went to one of her shows was, I'm not going to say surprised by how strong she's gotten, but just kind of, you know, in that vein, like, all right, we're going to support Kelly. We know, I think Kelly's headlined the Attic twice, maybe even 3 times. So she does have fans in Bloomington.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's such a great comic that just gets better and better. I got to watch probably like 15 minutes of everyone, I think. But I'm just like, this is fucking great. The way that she controls an audience, you know, she's patient. They hang on her every word. I just have so much respect for another comic that lives in the Midwest and works full time in the Midwest. So shout out to Kelly.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Kelly's like, you know, for a long time, I was kind of referring to her as my comedy sister, but, you know, she surpassed me at this point. She's much more successful than I am with her Dry Bar and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And there's zero resentment there. No, I'm just kidding. I'm very happy for her. But we've definitely been there for each other and had each other's backs. And I've been an early proponent of her, you know, like when Jared has been like, I need a, you know, a headliner for this weekend, so and so. And I've always been like, Kelly's like, there's like basically a handful of people that are my go-to recommendations, because I know no matter where you put them, they're going to do well. It's like, it's you, it's Brent Terhune, it's Kelly Collette. Those are probably my first 3, honestly, out of the gate, because you're all my people and you're also all local and close by and can usually pick up last minute stuff if you're not, you know, busy. And you'll all work cheap, which is what people are always looking for. So no, I love Kelly to death. And you're right. People do not, I think people take her for granted. And this is going to be an assumption on my part, but I think it's because she's a very attractive blonde white woman, like kind of, you know, she's like a, I don't want to say like a sorority girl. I know she was a sorority girl in college, but like, she's, you know, she's not like alt-y or whatever. She's like very attractive in a mainstream way, woman. And so I think in comedy, as we're seeing with the Matt Rife stuff, where people are mad that Matt Rife has abs or whatever the fuck, there's a section of comedy fans and comedians who don't think comedians should be attractive.
Yeah.
And the fact, and so people are sleeping on Kelly. They're like, oh, it's some pretty blonde girl. What's she going to do? Well, she's going to fucking destroy.
Yeah,
because she's a great comic. And that's the end of it, you know? So, yeah, hell yeah to Kelly. I've always, you know, stand for her, and I will continue to do that as well.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I missed one of the highlights of the festival everyone was talking about. Deanne Smith at the Bishop got carried off stage.
She made them carry her. Deanne refused to leave until the audience would carry them out the door. Until they could stage dive into the crowd and have them. And I've known Deanne a very long time, and we're good friends, and to the point that I am very honest with them, and I could be like, I was about to come carry you off the stage because you were blowing the light. And
Matt's like, the only one not enjoying.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like, yeah, this is chaotic and once in a lifetime, but wrap it up.
No. Get off stage.
It's like, we got to fold these chairs up and have a karaoke party. Let's go. But no, that video is out there online. I think so, a couple of people caught it. But yeah, Deanne is maybe the most in the moment comic I've ever seen and worked with.
Yeah.
Like, it is, yes, they have material that they'll get into and go through, but they are also fearless in the way that they'll attack any situation. And there's not a single room you couldn't put Deanne in that they wouldn't break and flip and turn into fans. Like, they're just undeniable and super funny. And their energy, I don't know how Deanne gets that much energy. Like, it's
wild.
It's wild and it's crazy. Yeah. And they're like that off stage too, you know. Yeah. Like, even just hanging with them is the funniest thing that you'll do for, you know, however long you hang with them.
Yeah.
A beautiful, beautiful person.
Yeah.
And
they gave me the biggest hug.
Yeah.
And then I said, they're like, that's a great hug. And then they did it again. I was like, I need another one of those.
Yeah.
I was like, I fucking love you. I love you. Yeah. It's like, I think the energy of the whole festival was that. Mm-hmm. It was just community, one goal.
Well, and you know this because you're on the backside of it now, but also, like, when you first started, like, that's been the goal since day one. There's a reason that we don't have a contest element. Mm-hmm. There's a reason that when we do have industry, we don't make a big deal out of it. We don't want you talk about, you see the comics like being in their own heads and trying to get ready for their sets. That's natural. That's never going to not go away. That's never going to go away. That's always going to be there. But everything about the festival is to lessen that. It's to be like, no, you've already won. This is the victory lap. You're in Limestone. You're here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I love during the 90-second show. I think it was Chanel. It was either Chanel. I think it was Chanel Hughes who went up there. And it was just like, I don't know why y'all are doing your rehearsed material. Like, it's like, we're already in the festival. I was like, I'm going to fuck around and do some shit. And I was super late. So I think it was Chanel who did it. It might have been Khadijah. I'm sorry. It was one of them. And again, I only got to see them for 90 seconds before they went on to the next thing. But it's super funny. But yeah, we try to like foster that vibe. And I think it also bleeds through from the audience too. Like, we're very lucky to be in Bloomington and to put it here. Like, this festival would not have that vibe, and it would not be the same kind of success that it is if it was anywhere else. Like, this is a very unique place. Even with all the changes in the last couple of years, it still has the heart and soul of Bloomington that comes through. And people love comedy here, man. Like, TIG show was on Monday, sold out 2 shows.
Yep.
We were worried that was going to affect our numbers, rightfully so. Like, someone's only at limited income, they can only go to one or the other. They're probably going to go to TIG.
Right.
But, and our numbers were good. The TIG shows were packed. I actually wound up doing time on the early TIG show because she got a flat tire.
Oh,
so yeah, Jonas and I both did 10-minute sets, killing time for TIG to get there.
Wow.
So yeah, that's the other thing I did on Monday. Luckily, I slept all day because I needed to go be on, quote unquote, on last night. But that was great too. I didn't even really get to talk to TIG because I just left and went home to go back to bed.
That's hilarious. How'd the set go though? Did it was feel good to get back?
It was good. Yeah. You know, I just jotted down a bunch of ideas. I had like one new thing that I tried, but everything was like, oh, this is this is in the current rotation of like new bits, right? Mm-hmm. Because there was like Tim Tucker and Curtis Simic sitting right up front, like people that have seen this a million times. Right. So I was like, all right, I'm going to throw a couple things that they probably have not seen yet that I've at least been working on for a couple months. So it was good. It was loose. It was fun. They loved Jonas. Jonas had a great set.
Did he?
Like mine went well, but I think halfway through they're like, when's Tig getting up here? Like, there was that, that kind of energy, you know, for a minute. So
100%.
Yeah, I definitely understand that. I know that we're coming up to the end of it here, but before we do, I did want to just do a shout out. You know, we always talk about how nice it is when comedians will pull us aside and let us know that they listen to the podcast. I had that happen over the course of the weekend, but not with a comedian, but just with a comedy fan. Aaron Shepper, who is a big-time supporter of Bloomington comedy, not just Limestone Comedy Festival, but comes to the Don't Tell shows and shows at the Attic for a long, long time. She just kind of like, you know, pulled me aside at the brunch and was like, hey, I just want to let you know, I really love you and Dwight's podcast and, you know, getting a sort of behind the scenes thing. So big shout out to Aaron. Thank you for everything you do for Bloomington Comedy. And thanks for listening to the podcast. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Aaron. Also said very kind words to me about the podcast. And it was great seeing Aaron at multiple shows. I believe Aaron Kane was like one of the first people to show up to the BrewTube show. So thank you. I think they, you know, like you said, everything Bloomington comedy. So that's why it's fucking special, man. That's why it's special. You get these like comedy fans that know comedy. Comedy fans that actually know comedy and expect and trust that we're going to put on good shows, even if they've never heard of anybody on the lineup. I think that's fun for comedy fans in Bloomington. And I think we knocked it out of the park this year. I liked on your Facebook message how unnatural you said it felt to beat your chest a little bit, but you can beat that thing.
Yeah.
Godzilla.
It really is. I mean, I feel like I you know,
I guess it's King Kong.
Yeah. I wrote and deleted that, you know, several times because I did write one that was a little bit even more cocky. That it just like felt weird. And then I wrote one where I was just like talking about how hard putting this festival on is. I was like, well, no, I'm just stealing from Jared's like closing remarks. So I had to strike that balance. But I am very proud of what we've built over the 10 years. And it's not lost on me that that is an accomplishment. A lot of things don't make it to 10 years, you know. Mm-hmm. A lot of festivals go a couple years and then they fold. My first marriage only made it to 8 years. So a lot of things.
He's back, everybody. He's back.
But yeah, I mean, we are, like I said in the post, we are very good at what we do. I learned from one of the best. I learned from Will Pepple, a tour manager, who taught me how to be a tour manager when I was still doing that as a job back in the day. And he really exemplified of like, you just get it done. There's no other, there's nothing, there's no step two. Yep. Whatever has to be done, you get it done. And like everything that I do and that sort of ability to sort of multitask and pull it off stems directly from him and what he taught me. So, and then you guys jumping right in and like matching this sort of insane level of quality control that we have, you know, I used to always say this about other like festivals, you know, that maybe weren't quite as good. I would always just be like, you just have to give a shit. It's not that hard. Just give a shit. But I now realize it is hard for people to give a shit to the level that we do.
Yeah.
Like we give a shit, not just about the big stuff, but about the little stuff. And the little stuff is what really makes a festival great.
100%.
You know,
the details.
The details. And so, I'm proud. Pride is not something that I'm particularly comfortable with. But I'm proud of the festival and you know, it's cool. Like I did expect that we were going to get the key to the city, but that didn't happen. And that's because we still have a certain person in the mayor's office. I'm sure year 11, we get some fresh blood in there. We'll be getting the key to the city. Right?
The key?
Yeah. They did name it Limestone Day one time. I think maybe on our fifth anniversary or whatever.
Okay.
Maybe. I feel like we had a Limestone Day.
Can't get the full key.
Can't get that. Yeah, but y'all get the money for the key.
Yeah, leave reviews and write letters.
I pay my taxes. Hey, speaking of reviews, if you wanted to leave a positive review of this podcast, that would be great. Theoretically, that's how other people find it, is by high reviews, high scores and leaving reviews, and who knows anyway. But or you can just tell a friend. That's always good. And if you have a question, we've been out of questions for a couple of weeks and we've had plenty to talk about. Next week, we will be deconstructing your Detroit Odyssey, which we've been put on hold now for a couple of weeks. But I feel like I think it won't take much to get you back into that mindset and you'll be able to share that story.
I can access it. I was just, I'm fired up. I'm limestone fired up.
Yeah.
I got some serotonin back. I went to the gym today. So I am I'm regaining some normalcy. I'm going to go to the Indianapolis Indians game.
Nice.
Today. It's supposed to be beautiful. You know what's fucked up, Matt?
What?
Why can't the weather of this week have been live? It's going to be like 78 and perfect. Yeah.
I don't want to complain. It could have been worse. It could have been way worse. Yes, it was hot, but it could have been way, way worse. So I'm not going to tempt the gods for next
year.
Okay.
Sure. But I'm in a max relax mode. I was supposed to have two shows this week. One of them got canceled. I have a show in Chillicothe, Ohio. Chillicothe. Oh, how do you say it?
Mm-hmm. I think it's Chillicothe, I think, right?
Chillicothe. Yeah. I don't know. I'll probably get yelled at
while
I'm there. That's on Saturday. But other than that, I might go see Into the Spider-Verse, Across the Spider-Verse tomorrow. I'm going to smoke some meats on Thursday. So okay. That's you're getting spring break Dwight's this week.
Oh
so,
yeah. I dig yeah. it, man. Yeah, I don't have anything on my plate right now. I've still got a couple of days worth of paperwork to do to close up shop on this year's festival. But other than that, I'm gonna kind of take it easy this week. Just looking forward, I will be back performing comedy again. I gotta double check and make sure this is still a go, but I believe I will be in Springfield, Missouri. On the 16th and 17th, featuring for Harlan Williams.
The Blue Room?
Yeah, the Blue Room Comedy Club.
Nice.
They confirmed it a long time ago, and then I've not followed up. So I'm going to make sure nothing has changed there. But
I know that guy. I know the owner of Blue Room. You should probably follow up, man.
Yeah, I'm going to follow up. Yeah. And even more tentative is I think I was supposed to headline the Thursday on the 15th.
Oh.
But other than that, man, it's just going to be this is going to be spring break for me this month. I've got it pretty easy this month. So just kind of recuperating from the festival stuff and then starting to make plans for fall touring is kind of where I'm at. If anybody out there does want to give us a question, though, because I'm sure the Detroit Odyssey will be quite a bit, but we always love tackling your guys' questions. That makes us think about comedy in a way that maybe we haven't necessarily gotten into on this podcast. Mm-hmm. And it also makes us examine our own approach to things. You can email us at the email account, which is mattanddwight@gmail.com. That is mattanddwight@gmail.com. mattanddwight@gmail.com. Email us any questions you have there, and we will tackle it on a future episode of the podcast. You got any words of wisdom to leave them with, Dwight?
You know what? I do not. You're a rock, Matt. I have hot dog fingers. We are everything, everywhere, all at once.
Pack
Thank you for supporting.
Pack an Thank extra you. T-shirt everywhere you go.
Wardrobe change.